Galatians 2:11 is where we're going to start. We're going to go to the end of that chapter, 21, to Galatians 2:11 through 21. And there is some very, very important things in Galatians. Of course, there's some very, very important things in all of God's Word. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him publicly, speaking strongly against what he was doing, for it was very wrong. Now, Paul's got to speak to who? Was Peter one of the favorite apostles? Now, how in the world could an apostle possibly sin? When you read this, you got to realize for the rest of us, then there's got to be hope then, right? You can't make it without doing some things wrong in life until you really get in the Word of God and really begin to study it. I mean, the more you study God's Word, the more correct you will do things in your life. But God is working on us, trying to make us perfect. And that's what he's doing. He's working. And just like he was here with Peter, Paul, he says, well, he tells us what the problem was. He says in verse 12, when he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who don't bother with circumcision. But afterwards, when some Jewish friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore because he was afraid of what those legalists would say. Now, are we afraid of what people will say? If you're afraid of what people's going to say about what you preach, you might as well quit preaching now. Because if you're going to preach the Word of God, you're going to offend some people. You're going to hurt some people. And then some people ain't going to like you. But I don't care if anybody likes me. I only want to please one. You know who that is? The King. Since some of you are brand new here today and have not seen these pictures, I want to tell you this little story again about faith and what it does. You probably didn't notice, but as you walk out that door, right there on the wall, you'll see a bunch of pictures, about six or seven of eight of them, 8 by 10 pictures of a little 6.5, 7-year-old girl. She had awful sores all over her whole body. I mean, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. This little girl, when you go out there and look at those pictures, you'll see she had awful sores, running, oozing sores, all over her arms, all over her face, all over her neck, all over her body, all down her legs and to her feet. And they oozed and run with running, so wet pus stuff all the time. She was born like this. And the mother, when the mother called me, she said, I've just heard your story about how you prayed for your granddaughter, Caitlin, and you raised her from the dead. So I know with your faith, if you'll pray for my daughter, she'll be healed. I said, ma'am, that's not the way it works. I said, you got to have faith. But there's another ingredient. I said, it's sin. I said, if the man that you're living with, that you produced this child with, are you married to him? Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am. She said, we've been married a long time. I said, okay, good. I said, do you have other children? She said, yes. I said, are they sick? No. I said, okay. Somewhere between the last child being born and this one being born, either you or your husband or both of you did something that God doesn't like. Because I said, he struck your child with a curse that's written in Deuteronomy 28:27. The incurable itch that cannot be healed. Now, how popular do you think I have become all of a sudden with this couple? Not very popular at all. What? You're telling us that we've committed some kind of sin that made our daughter sick? I said, yes, that's what you've done. I said, because I know it's not the little girl's fault because she was born with the sickness. It wasn't her fault. So it had to be either y'all's fault or, I said, and since it was none of your other children are sick, it's probably not the grandparents' fault. Because if all of your other children had been born with it, then it could have been grandparents or great-grandparents. But I said, since your other children are okay, and this one is born under this curse, it's probably something you or your husband done. I said, so let me send you a bunch of CDs and DVDs, and I want you to listen to them. And then I want you to find your sin. And when you find your sin, I want you to repent of your sin. Then I want you to call me. We'll pray for you. And then the little girl will get healed. As soon as we get rid of the sin issue, because see what they don't realize yet, when you sin, you fall from grace. And you're supposed to walk in grace forever as a Christian. You're not supposed to get out of it. But when you sin, you have transgressed the law of God. You're guilty of sin, and the demons of hell have legal right to afflict us and torment us. And that's what they do to us. And the average Christian don't know that. I didn't know it for years. Had no idea that that's what was going on in the spirit world. I sent them a bunch of CDs and they listened to them for several months. And then they called me and said, my goodness, we found out so many things to sin we didn't even know was sin. You know, there's one thing that really gets all of us. I want to put a sin up there that I bet you there's not anybody in this room that hasn't done this in the last week. Philippians 2:14. I want to put that up on the board. I want you to look at it. I want to see if you think that if you haven't sinned or haven't fell from grace, Philippians 2:14, I want you to see in everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing or grumbling and complaining. In everything you do, God told us, no grumbling and complaining. Now, let me see a show of hands. How many of you know beyond a shadow of doubt you have not grumbled and complained not one time this week? Well, I can't raise mine. You know how easy it is to grumble and complain? But see, there's so many things that are sin. So anyway, they found lots of things that they didn't even know was sin. And so they repented of all of them. And then they called me and said, we're ready to be prayed for. We have repented of every sin known and unknown. I said, okay, we prayed the prayer of faith. I said, now then, I prayed the prayer of faith for your little child. I said, I want you to call me with your praise report. I love to hear praise reports. Well, about 2 months, they called me and said, she's worse. I said, well, we didn't find the sin. You know, now I didn't say this. Well, it wasn't God's will to heal her. That's what so many people say. Well, we prayed, but it ain't wasn't God's will. No, that ain't the case. It's always God's will to heal. It's never, the answer is never no, unless you have committed the sin unto death. And if you are, you ain't going to be in it 7 years like she was. You ain't going to live 7 years if you've committed the sin unto death. You know, so you don't have to worry about that. When you commit the sin unto death, I have known of 24 different men in my life that have committed the sin unto death, and not one single one of them lived more than 24 hours after they committed the sin. Every one of them were stone dead within 24 hours. So, you know, if you come to me complaining, begging, crying, and say, I committed the sin unto death 5 years ago, I said, it's bunk. You did not commit the sin unto death. God don't let. In fact, two cases in the Word of God, the people that sinned, from the time they committed the sin until God killed them, does anybody even know where it's found? The one man and one woman. In Acts, that's right. In the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira. And they sold a piece of property, and that day, and they came back to give that money to the Lord, all of it, when they lied. And when Peter said, Ananias, why have you decided to lie to God? I mean, wasn't that land yours? You could have kept it. You could have sold it for whatever you wanted to. You could have given God whatever you wanted to give him. But you said you sold it and gave God all the money. He said, you lied. He said, now because you lied, they're going to bury you. And bam, Ananias fell stone dead right in the church. 3 hours later, his wife came in and Peter said, oh, Sapphira, did you and Ananias really sell the land for this much? And she said, yes, that's the price. And we give it all to the Lord. He said, why have you two decided to lie to God? Now then, because you have lied, the same men that just walked in the back door that buried your husband is going to take you out and bury you. And she fell dead. And it said, great fear fell upon the church. That would put the fear in all of us, wouldn't it, brother? Acts 5. I am so glad that God is merciful, aren't you? Because if the first time I had done something and not tithed off of it right or whatever, God had killed me, I would have been dead a long time ago. I would never live till now. But God is merciful. Aren't we glad, Bill? Yeah, I know you're glad just like me. I know you have done some dumb things just like I have in your life. And we ain't proud of none of them, are we? But we ain't going to do them no more, are we? No, sir. We know the truth now, so we're not going to do it. This little girl, we have not found the sin, and so she's still sick. And so I just keep telling them, you know, keep sending them CDs and DVDs. I said, keep looking for your sin. Find out what it is. A year and a half comes and goes and we can't find it. Everybody in this ministry center, I mean, everybody has prayed for that little girl. I mean, Rosemary prayed for her, I'm sure. Sharon, I'm sure, prayed for her. I prayed for her, I don't know how many times. Dave prayed for them. We all prayed for that little girl. But she didn't get well. Finally, I just told them one day after a year and a half, I said, you know, y'all are wasting our time. We're wasting your time. I said, we got to find that sin that's keeping that little girl sick. So I said, I want you two, Richard and Sally, I want you two to get on your face. That's a mother and daddy. I said, I want you two to get on your face before God, and I want Richard to pray every day, the Father, and ask the Father in the name of Jesus, what did we do that made you upset to afflict our daughter with this terrible disease? Most people have never prayed a prayer like that. You know that? But they did. 2 weeks later, or about 2 weeks later, Sally called me and she said, Thurman, I heard these two words this morning when I sat up on the side of the bed. Lying and deception. How many of y'all know God don't like lying? Have you read in the book where he says, and God hates lying? So then why do we lie? You know, it's obvious that it will do something to you. You know, it could, except for the grace of God, it could bring some kind of sickness upon you when you lie. Because God said, I hate for my children to lie. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about his church, us. So she said, lying and deception. I said, well, Sally, do you know what that means? And she said, yes, I know exactly what that means. She said, when I was 39, my husband was 43. And I went to my husband and told him, I said, honey, my biological clock is ticking and I'm getting older every day. It's not going to be long till I'm going to be too old to bear children. I want one more child before we get too old to have children. And my husband said, absolutely not. I'm already 43 years old and I don't want a teenager in high school when I'm in my 60s. Now that makes sense to a man, doesn't it? And she said, I promised my husband I would do everything I could to keep from getting pregnant. But she said, I lied to him. I did everything I could to get pregnant. And then when I got pregnant, I went to him and told him, honey, it must be God's will after all for us to have another baby. Although I've done everything to keep from getting pregnant, I'm pregnant and we're going to have a baby. So it must be God's will. Well, obviously, God wasn't too happy with Sally because he afflicted her little girl with this terrible disease. So I said, have you asked your husband to forgive you? Oh, yes. I said, did he? She said, oh, yes. He forgave me. I said, did you ask the Lord to forgive you? She said, oh, yes. Yes. I said, now then, Sally, we can pray the prayer of faith for your daughter. And the next six pictures as you walk out the door is six pictures 2 weeks later after she got healed.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Call Him in Remembrance, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.